Hello, my name's Heather, and I'm going to record a podcast called The Ordinary Knitter. I chose that name because I listen to several knitting podcasts and I read various articles about knitting, and all the people that I'm listening to and reading about choose wonderful yarns, many of them made in the UK. They carefully select these for their wool content, and many of the yarns are gathered from sheep owned by the people who go on to spin them and dye them, and I'm in awe of people who have those sorts of skills. But plenty of us buy our yarn from the supermarket, dare I admit it, or we nip into the local yarn shop and buy something that's on a reasonable offer, 5 balls of DK for £6, or, as I also do, I will research a certain wool, particularly if I'm making socks and I'm looking for durability but also ease of washing, because I don't beat my washing against a stone in the river. I fling it in the washing machine and sometimes it goes in the tumble dryer. So the yarns that I buy have to be fairly well able to hold their own in an ordinary household. I'm prepared to make an effort with the odd item of clothing, but by and large, I don't have time to treat every item of clothing I make with kid gloves. So I thought there was room for a podcast for and by people who, although they like a decent yarn as much as the next person, and, you know, pretty much every knitter is a yarn fiend, there was room for a podcast that didn't just focus on these fantastic artisan yarns and was perhaps more about the wider business of knitting for people for whom it's a very enjoyable activity for a couple of hours in the evening and a bit of time on holiday and perhaps on the train, and in my case, when my son is at his swimming lesson. So I'm the ordinary knitter. This is my first foray into podcasting, and probably over time the podcast will change. My intention at the moment is to have a 20-minute episode once a week, and the kind of things I expect to talk about are projects I've got on the needles, the things I've recently finished, what I'm thinking about making, what I'm looking forward to making, what I'm researching, what I'm planning, why I'm knitting the things I'm knitting, and generally where being a knitter has taken me over the last few weeks. I may also look at a few bad habits and the things that I try to change as I go along. To introduce myself briefly, I've known how to knit most of my life. I'm in my 40s now, but I took up knitting sort of, you know, with a passion, if you like, about 4 years ago, when, as part of the Three Choirs Festival, I went with my mother and my then quite young daughter, she'd have been 9 or 10, we went to a workshop, just a drop-in thing, in Hereford, because I live in Herefordshire, and we knitted a tablet case, and I sort of got on with it reasonably okay. That was the first time I'd ever really seriously had to follow a pattern, and it wasn't even a proper written pattern. It was, I think, knit one, slip one, knit one, slip one, the whole way. And I rather enjoyed it. And the thing which really struck me is I'm not a patient person, and I'm not known for my tenacity. If something isn't going well, I'm more as likely to say, sod it, and go and do something else. But for whatever reason, I decided to keep going with this, and eventually I managed to actually knit it correctly after literally about 5 or 6 times, and I really, to rip something out and start again, you know, you could have knocked my family over with a feather, because that is not my approach generally. One thing led to another, and in the course of that summer, I knitted a number of simple projects, which involved things like following a pattern for the first time and understanding all the abbreviations, the general etiquette, if you like, of patterns, how they aren't very much all for the beginner, why your weight of yarn matters, why your size of yarn matters. I made every mistake in the book. I'm still making quite a few of them, but I learned a tremendous amount, and most importantly, I really loved it. And I was established in my own mind then as a knitter. One of the first proper, actually wearable things that I made after all sorts of, you know, half-assed projects was a pair of socks for my daughter, and she absolutely loved them. But I made a really rookie mistake, and I didn't do a very stretchy cast on. I didn't even know at that stage that there were such things as different cast-ons. So that's how rookie I was and how far I've come in the last few years. These days I do a lot of practical knitting. I'm quite a practical person, really. I like to have a purpose for the things that I do, and I hold my hand up. My name is Heather and I'm a sock knitter. I love knitting socks, primarily for my husband these days, and the thing which is so pleasing is that he loves them. You know, he will go and buy 5 pairs of socks for a fiver from Primark from time to time if stocks are running low, but by and large, he will always wear, for preference, the socks that I make him. And as my confidence has grown, I've now formed my own sock pattern, not that anyone else would ever be interested in using, because it's tailored to my husband's foot. And I have my own preferred cast-on. I didn't invent these cast-ons or cast-offs or heels or anything, but over the various patterns that I've tried, these are what have settled down for me as my preferred cast-on, my preferred heel setup, my preferred cast-off. I tend to knit on circulars toe down. That works for me. But when I first sat down to knit a pair of socks, I couldn't have given you anything approaching an opinion on any of those elements. So things have really, really snowballed for me over the last few years. I also like to knit jumpers. I have a 7-year-old son and a teenage daughter. Knitting for my daughter is a little bit more problematic because, as I was at her age, she's quite fussy. And fit can be a bit of an issue. And also when I do stupid things like putting acrylic jumpers in the tumble dryer, fit really becomes an issue. For my son, however, as long as he's got a warm, comfy jumper, he does have his ideas about style, but he's much easier to please. So I've made him several jumpers, and now when I look at one I made him 2 or maybe even 3 years ago, I lose track now. Again, stupidly, I didn't do a stretchy cast-off. So I wouldn't even contemplate now doing a jumper without a stretchy cast-off. At the time, I didn't know any better. So every time I make a jumper or make a pair of socks, I hope that things get a little bit better and a little bit better. I think I'm also going to talk about my knitting failures because, you know, we all have them and it makes everybody feel better to know that other people have them too. And so that things can only get better, I'll start by giving you my knitting failure as of last night. I've spent the last month making myself a cardigan from a pattern on Ravelry. I've got no desire at all to publicly name and shame, so I won't give the name of the cardigan, but the actual style was lovely. It looked like just the kind of thing that would suit me and that I would wear and that would answer a few needs for me. I like to wear good shirts, proper shirts, and you need a cardigan that's a little more roomy, particularly in the sleeve, to go over those. I love cardigans in general, and the kind of cardigans that I would wear in the summer over a camisole or over a more closely fitting top don't work with a shirt because the sleeves are too fine or that generally the cut is too narrow. Not that I'm a narrow person. I don't know if it's of any use to know as we go forward. I'm between a 14 and a 16. I'm a lot heavier since having my son 7 years ago, which doesn't make me happy, but that's a whole other story. So one of the things I loved about this cardigan design is that there were no buttons. I have this bee in my bonnet that my knitting is not strong enough to cope with the pull of buttons or even a zip. The thought of fitting a zip makes me come out in a cold sweat. And something else that I would like to talk about in future episodes is our knitting bogeymen, what we try to avoid, and when the time comes that you decide to quote a knitting newsletter that I received a few years ago, and I'm sorry, I don't recall who the author was, but she was talking about cabling without a cable needle, and she referred to putting your big knitter's pants on, and I thought that was a brilliant phrase, so I hope she'll forgive me for borrowing it. I doubt she'll listen anyway, she's far too much of a big noise in knitting to actually have a newsletter. So I was taken by this pattern, and being an ordinary knitter, I had picked up some navy, a kind of French navy, sort of colour my grandmother used to wear. It was lovely. Some navy DK in Aldi for a very reasonable price. I think they were doing 4 100-gram skeins for about £5, maybe even £4. So the pattern pretty much used up 400 grams with a little bit left over. It was great. I was happy. I enjoyed the techniques involved. Had to learn one or two new techniques, and I put the finished item on and it was too small. And what was depressing is that I had made it as a large because I thought that would do. Now my teenager is very, very slim, and she tried it on this morning and it didn't even meet in the middle on her. So when I talk about not wanting to publicly name and shame, this is because I think the sizing on the cardigan is way off. I mean, if a skinny 14-year-old girl is a large, there's not much hope for the rest of us. So this morning I went to a knitting group. I go to one which my mother, who is not an enthusiastic knitter, she's a very skilled seamstress, but it's a little bit of a reluctant knitter, but she sticks with it. She tried it on. She's smaller than I am, she's more petite, she's shorter, and she was happy with the fit, and it actually echoed the fit of a shrug which I had made her for Christmas. It's not the same item at all, but there was a point of similarity, and she loved it and she was delighted. So she accepted it on the basis that I would knit something else for myself, because I don't tend to knit a great deal for myself of any size or undertaking. I've made myself a number of cowls and mittens, fingerless gloves, things like that. Fine, they're great, they're very useful, and I wear them a lot, but I hadn't yet strayed into the territory of making myself something as big as a cardigan. And well, you know, you learn with every project, and I've certainly learnt not to rely on measurements, but actually to try the blinking thing on as I go along. So, lesson learnt. My other bad habit is I always seem to end up knitting against the clock, which is not intentional. I think it's the fact that I know that a birthday is coming up, or in the case of a friend of mine, a new baby is on the horizon, and it just it flicks a switch in my mind, and it's, oh, I must knit for this, I must knit for that, I must make such and such. And of course, I don't know about you, but I usually spend a couple of days researching the patterns, and I end up with, you know, a fortnight to make a baby blanket, and usually I have a couple of hours in the evening, maybe a little bit extra at weekends, and many days I'll have sort of 20 minutes in the car when I get to school to pick the children up, and I can do a bit of knitting then, which led me at one point to name all my socks school run socks, because that seemed to be when I did the bulk of them. So I'm not one of these phenomenally organised knitters who constantly knows what she's doing and gets everything finished with weeks to spare. And I sort of said only half jokingly that this year I was going to start my Christmas knitting in January, because that it just knitting against the clock goes to new heights once you get into December. So that's my downside, you know, the things I sort of have to struggle with. So going from the top of the things I was going to talk about, work in progress, I literally don't have one at the moment. I finished the cardigan last night. I'm glad my mother's pleased with it, but I don't have the French Navy cardigan I was expecting to have. Recently finished projects, well, that'll be the cardigan. Projects I'm planning, well, the next major thing for me is my friend's baby. Now, this is baby number 6. But she does need a few things. We know it's going to be a boy, so that helps. I don't think I've got enough time to make a blanket, but I'm quite taken by these little sleep pods. The thing is, he's going to be a summer baby, and all the sleep pods that I've researched so far are made in a worsted, and I just think it's going to be hot and sweaty and uncomfortable for him. I also looked at soakers, because my friend uses cloth nappies, and I have a wonderful cone of a slightly indeterminate weight of yarn. It's sort of DK, which is spun from the fleece of a sheep on my aunt and uncle's place down in Devon. Cedric the sheep. It's a wonderful natural colour, and these soakers to go over cloth nappies need to be made in a yarn which is very wool rich. Well, this is 100% wool. I was quite interested in the idea of these, and my friend said, well, you know, let's do it on an experimental basis, and I was happy to do that. And I cast on this morning at the knitting group, but I did 3 or 4 rows and it was feeling scratchy, and I knew that if it was my baby, I just wouldn't want to put that scratchy yarn onto the skin. So having done a few rows, I ripped that out. And then I started on a cloth, because I have a stash of mercerized cotton that I bought when someone else I knew was expecting twins. And I thought I would do some bibs, maybe some booties. Not that I ever used booties on my children. And mercerized cotton is marvellous. I forget off the top of my head what it is that they do to it, but it basically it's bulletproof as far as babies are concerned. So dribble, sick, and anything else a baby chooses to deposit onto this will just wash off. It's very resilient. It's a 4-ply. I don't know if all mercerized cotton is a 4-ply, but this is a 4-ply, and I got it in a selection of colours. She also was expecting boys, which was useful. So I cast on this morning for a little washcloth from a pattern was on Ravelry. I think it's called the Baby Starfish. But I ran into another problem straight away, which just shows that I don't put in enough foresight. The mercerised cotton being 4-ply, I was using 2.5mm needles, and I realised very rapidly that this washcloth was going to turn out to just be slightly bigger than a postage stamp, and that's really not much use. I was using the mercerised cotton deliberately because of its bulletproof properties, but I wonder whether in fact it's just going to be simpler to make it out of DK, to cross my fingers it stands the test of time. But what I learnt from all of that this morning, in the very congenial atmosphere of sitting round a beautiful old table in a lovely old house, a sort of community facility, if you like, that we go to. Used to be a merchant's house, and now it's they have all sorts of events there, and there's a cafe and exhibitions and a shop and this and that, and we get to use this lovely room. So it was fine. Although I ended up pulling out everything I had knitted this morning, I didn't mind, because at the end of it, I thought, well, it's 2 hours. I would never, if I'd been at home, I would never have spent 2 hours knitting. And I felt I'd sort of decided that I wasn't going to do the soakers, and if I do a washcloth, I need to do it in something else. So I came home, and after I'd done various things, I allowed myself a little bit on Ravelry again, researching patterns, and I'm still not quite decided what I'm going to do, and I'm not going to make just the one thing for the baby, but I think ultimately I'm just going to start off with a washcloth and go from there, and everything else is a bonus, given that I always end up in a frantic rush to finish my projects. The yarn that I'll use for that, well, because they're small little things and in DK, and probably I certainly have more DK and more Aran than anything else, partly being a jumper knitter. And I can just use not quite scraps, but certainly stash busters, these cloths. So I think that's what I'll do. And I can do several colours. And the lady who has designed this cloth has also designed a cloth with a little whale on it and a matching bib. And the bib is a sort of all-in-one piece. I get a bee in my bonnet about things for babies that have buttons on them. I don't know why. I've never had a bad experience with babies and buttons. I just, especially when I'm giving it to someone else, it makes me nervous. So I like this pattern, this bib pattern, because it's an all-in-one, and it's obviously stretchy rib around the neck. You just pull it over the head. And I know, particularly with my son, something like that was marvellous, because you didn't have to try and get this child to sit still while you fiddled around with laces or poppers or something like that. So that's what I'm likely to do. I think I'll be scrummaging around and just using up some odds and ends. That's me for now. I've got plenty more to say, as you'll hear in coming weeks. I hope you've enjoyed what we've covered so far. I've got huge amounts of ideas for all sorts of other things that I'd like to talk about. Right now I'm off on the school run. I'm going to grab myself a ball of DK, and because I'm looking for a small stitch size, probably some 3.5 or 3.75mm needles, I'll grab my printing from my husband's office, and as I sit at school for 20 minutes I'll cast on for one of these little cloths, and I'll report back next week. Okay, thanks for listening. Bye.